What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Joining us right now, former Met. Like I said, you see him on SNY, MLB Network. You hear him on Mets, Odyssey, Radio. Anthony Recker on the Fan. What's up, Rec?
Come on, man. Good to hear from you. How you been?
Good. Hanging out, doing the five-hour vehicle. Talked a lot of Yanks. Talked some Jets, some Giants. And we saved the best for last. We're going to talk about those make it happen Mets. I feel like they're out of the woods a bit. I feel like the Pete Alonso record-breaking game and then Nolan McLean's start and, of course, going to Williamsport and taking the series from the Mariners, a postseason team, if the season ended today. I feel like the vibes are back. Some wins are back, and you've kind of got out of the dark a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, the offense is starting to get it going. You know, you got to feel like this team believes that they've got enough pitching with the moves they made at the deadline. They're not the only ones. Obviously, Yankees did it too. You know, just waiting for some of those back-end bullpen arms to start to pay off, kind of shorten those games because you know you're not going to get a ton of length out of the starter. So you had to do it one way or another. But, you know, I feel like they're in a good spot right now. They've got a run in them left. And that's really what it's going to take. They're going to need to go on a run here at the end of the year, see if they can push themselves back into the NL East race. And then obviously from there, it's what can you do in the playoffs?
Yeah, front of mind right now is Francisco Alvarez. Obviously, he was hurt in the beginning of the year. He comes back. He gets sent down. He works on himself. He's been on a tear. He's been an absolute monster since he's come back. You know, since his return, he's got a 323 average, a 1053 OPS, four homers, 13 ribbies. That's courtesy of Mets Muse. And, you know, he just got the look of a guy that wants to win. When they lost the game Friday, you know, everybody saw him kind of sulking. And you just feel for the guy sliding and hurting his thumb. And all day we've been waiting for news on this MRI. I can only feel like there's bad news to come with no news. Can you talk about the impact of Francisco Alvarez behind the dish, you being a former catcher, him calling games, and then obviously with his bat in the lower part of this lineup, then moving him up in the lineup. You know, talk about Francisco Alvarez and what he's meant for this team and what the loss of him, again, could potentially mean.
I mean, realistically, this is one of their leaders. The kid's only 23 years old, but, you know, a couple of years ago, he was getting endorsements from the likes of Max Scherzer, Justin Verlander and the like. You know, they were the ones clamoring for him to start the year in the big leagues. They were the ones saying this kid's ready. He knows what it takes. He wants to win. He works hard. We believe in him. We want to throw to him. You know, when you've got guys like that, essentially just calling your name and saying, you know, you're ready, you're a leader, all those kinds of things, you know, big things are going to be expected from you. And, you know, over the last couple of years, he's shown flashes of it. It hasn't always been great, but, you know, coming into this year, I really thought he would get off to a great start. And then, you know, the hamate injury, and people don't realize how much that can sap you of some of your power. But the way that, you know, after he came back from that injury, still struggling, gets sent down, the way that he responded from that, I think tells you all you need to know about this kid. Like, clearly, he is the type of guy who's going to work his butt off, not going to, you know, let a bad run, you know, define who he is and define his season. He comes back. He's been awesome. You know, really has led offensively a charge and emotionally. I mean, you see it out there on the field. He gets a big hit and you see the emotion pour out of him. He loves it. He wants it. He wants the spotlight. He wants to be in those big moments and he wants to come through. And he had been, you know, to see what has transpired over the last, you know, what, 48 hours or so. Yeah, it's a little bit heartbreaking, but at the same time, we're just speculating that it could be bad news. You never know. Maybe it's not that big a deal. Maybe he's back in a couple of days. Maybe it takes 10 days, whatever it is. Hopefully whenever he does come back, it's with the same fire and, you know, kind of that same resolve, and he's in the same, you know, place that he is or was right before the injury, because the Mets are going to need that down the stretch. He's a game changer for them. He lengthens the lineup, certainly gives the middle of that lineup a lot more protection and a lot more thump. And really, I mean, having that extra bat obviously in there, coming from a catcher, a place where not a whole lot of teams get a ton of production, outside of teams like Seattle, it's a big boost. And having that as a leader, a guy who can help control that staff at times, is big. He's worked a lot on his defensive game. He's become a much better defensive catcher. You got to respect that. And I appreciate what I see out of him. So I know this Mets organization loves him. I know that clubhouse loves him. So they're going to need him to come back healthy and come back strong.
Let's talk about this rotation. I mean, it's been well documented from the beginning of the year, you know, Jeremy Hefner's pitching lab and what we were getting out of guys like Griffin Canning, whose season was cut short, Clay Holmes, who has gone from a reliever to a starter, even a guy like Tyler McGill, who should be coming back. And I think we should expect him to come back in this stretch of, you know, what do they have, 19 games or 16 games coming up, and a bunch of division games in a row where, you know, now you add in a young Nolan McLean. Tell me what you expect to see the Mets do with this rotation. Are they going to go to a six-man rotation? What do you expect them to do to get through this stretch of not having an off day?
To be honest with you, with some of the innings limitations that they've had, I don't expect them to go to a six-man rotation. I expect them to try to piggyback some people. If you can utilize some of this youth you've got in AAA that we're seeing right now, play out and play out in a positive way, whether it's, you know, Nolan McLean coming up. I was there for his debut actually the other day at Citi Field on Saturday. That was a lot of fun to watch. There was a lot of energy in the stadium. It seemed like a boost for the team, in morale and in emotion, everything. And anytime you get something like that, I think you got to try to ride that wave out. I mean, I think you're going to see McLean continue on, this year, making as many starts as he needs to. But at the same time, you know, maybe you bring up, a Jonah Tong or a Brandon Sproat, you know, whoever it may be, piggyback some of these guys to limit some of their innings, but still give them the outings that they need and get it under their belt. Because come playoff time, I think we see at this point that the starting five that they had pre the Nolan McLean call-up, that wasn't going to get it done in the playoffs. They needed some energy. They needed an injection of talent in the starting rotation. I think they've got that right now in AAA. They've got it in a guy like Nolan McLean. They're going to have to give those guys their run, but the best way to do that, to me, isn't necessarily to spread them out over 6-7 days, whatever that is. It would be really just to start piggybacking some of these guys. You know, maybe Clay Holmes becomes a three-inning or two-inning, whether it's an opener or a guy who comes in, you know, right after a McLean or whatever, just to give them some length and try to give this bullpen a little bit of a rest. I could see that being more the case than, you know, a 6 or 7 man rotation.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how Stearns and Mendoza navigate this stretch. It's such an important stretch for the standings and to get right. And, you know, they've had so many of these short outings. Something I've been saying all night is performance is what can change that. Kodai Senga had a better outing. Clay Holmes had a better outing. The kid Nolan McLean just surprised me because, you know, leading into that, I'm like, this is a tough spot for the guy against the Mariners. But you know what? He's a former quarterback, two-sport athlete at Oklahoma State playing football and baseball. And the stage wasn't too big for him. So you hope that he's good, you know, in 5 days when he's got to pop back up. But, yeah, maybe they go to a Brandon Sproat. But I wanted to ask you about the bullpen. You know, this was billed as a super pen after the deadline. And Gregory Soto has been good. But Tyler Rogers has given it up some, and Ryan Helsley has had a hard go at it. He looked better last night, but I think there's just some kind of bumps in the road, some type of adjustments that happen. I mean, we've seen it with the Yankees, with Jake Bird, who got DFA'd and then or got sent down, and then Camilo Duvall, who struggled. It's just, you know, getting acclimated to some new settings. How do you feel about the Mets' bullpen and these guys coming along, the new guys and the guys that were already there, like Edwin Diaz and Reed Garrett and Ryan Stanek. Like, I still think that's going to be a strength of this team.
It has to be, just based on the way that they're constructed. They're not going to get six innings out of anybody at this point. At least it doesn't seem that way. The only guy that's done it in the last, 2 months is David Peterson. So it really has to be a strength to them, that back end of the bullpen. I think you nailed it on the head. Like, you know, you come to a new team at the trade deadline, and although there can be an injection of energy and emotion, you know, and excitement from something like that, at the same time, as a pitcher, as a reliever or a starter, in this case, the relievers, you know, look, they're still creatures of habit. They're in a new setting. They've got new coaches around them. They're probably trying to develop new routines. Everything's different. And sometimes that can affect your performance on the field. And I think that's all we're seeing right now, you know, from both teams like the Yankees, teams like the Mets. You know, there have been a lot of deadline moves that have been questioned early on, right? But as these guys settle in, it doesn't always happen overnight. As they settle in, I think we'll start to see the benefits and the fruits of those trades. And it's really going to make an impact for all these teams, especially both New York teams, but the Mets, obviously, the way that they built it and did it from the back end, they need it, and they're going to get it. It's going to win out. I mean, the numbers on the back of the baseball card prove it. Tyler Rogers, fantastic reliever, has been so consistent over the last 5 years or so. Helsley, look, he's ridden a roller coaster before. It happens as a closer at times, but he'll find himself. Anytime you're throwing 102, 103 miles an hour, like, I mean, realistically, you know, you can only give up so much, right? Like, you can only get squared up so much. So I think he'll find himself, and this back end of the bullpen will be fine. They do still need Garrett and Stanek both to stand up at times, though, and pull their weight. And it's really been, you know, Garrett struggled of late. It happens. Again, you go through it, but you've got to find a way, you know, whether it's a hit to your confidence because they brought in some relievers that would have, you know, that are kind of taking some of your innings that you formerly got, but whatever it is, you got to man up and do what you need to for your team. So I expect them to right the ship and certainly get more out of the bullpen than they've gotten over the last couple of weeks.
They say this team goes as Francisco Lindor goes. He was just named player of the week, going 14 for 25 with a 560, 3 home runs, 7 ribbies, 2 stolen bases, 6 extra hits. And even though they lost those games, it's refreshing to see the leadoff hitter, the leader, a guy that, you know, we were worried about his pinky toe and if he was still feeling some effects of that. You know, many people thought he might be named captain after David Wright's ceremony. That's in the past now. I am, you know, leaning towards the Mets being back because Lindor has gotten it going. And, you know, don't sleep on Juan Soto's impact either. You know, Juan Soto, they just posted, he's the only guy in Major League Baseball with 30 and 20. He smashed his, you know, stolen bases total this year already, and I think we're about to see Juan Soto break out as well. So let's talk about the lineup, Pete Alonso, Nimmo, and the Mets hitters, because I felt like the strength of this team going into the season was supposed to be the order. Even Vientos coming alive last night, you kind of got to play him. If those guys are going and those guys are hitting, then the Mets will be fine with their starters not going deep in the games, having a lead and turning it over to the bullpen.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, this lineup, they're far too good to have the struggles that they had for about a 2 month stretch there, June and July. We're seeing Pete come out of it in a big way. I think, you know, breaking the record, certainly just, it's going to be a weight off his shoulders. Soto, we've seen a very good version of him all year. It hasn't been obviously what we saw last year, I would say. But he's been very good nonetheless. Lindor, I mean, for whatever reason, every year it's like first half, second half. You know, there's month or two where he's great, month or two where he struggles. Hopefully he's turning it on again right now, because this Mets team, to your point, they do live and die by him, at least offensively. For whatever reason, he's the tone setter. He starts it, and they tend to fall in line. So I do love what I've seen from Brandon Nimmo this year. Very different hitter. You know, he's not the type of guy always looking to work walks. He's been very aggressive early in counts. He's been very aggressive looking for his pitch. You know, some of the power numbers prove it, that it's been beneficial in some ways for him in this offense. Even a Jeff McNeil has shown some things at times throughout this year where he's, you know, carried a load a little bit. So there's certainly a dangerous lineup, and they can be a dangerous lineup, you know, pretty much 1 through 9 outside of really that center field spot. You know, they went out and got Cedric Mullins at the deadline. We'll see how that pays off. But I like this lineup top to bottom. They've got a lot of talent. You know, it definitely, they ride too many waves at times. You'd love to see them, you know, be a little bit more steady, but look, it's baseball. You're going to struggle at times. And certainly when you're going through the good times, you got to ride it out. And that's what they got to do right now. They're going to try to do. But yeah, a guy like Lindor, when he's going, you know, it certainly seems to bode obviously extremely well for the rest of the lineup. For whatever reason, they fall, like I said, they fall in line behind him, and they got to ride that out now the rest of the season.
Yeah, we're running out of time. It's get right time, and I do feel like they're out of the woods, and they're going to seize this opportunity coming up. We're on the phone right now with Anthony Recker, former Mets player. You hear him on a Mets Odyssey Radio and SNY, MLB Network. Rec, last thing for you. If you were watching the game yesterday, and even if you weren't, everybody's heard of it now. Rob Manfred literally spoke on realignment. It's coming. I don't know if it's going to take a year after the lockout, 2 years. I joked online that, hey, this will be, you know, the last thing he does in 2029 before he signs off. But as a former player, I'd like to know your thoughts on it. I mean, us fans have a lot of thoughts on it, but I think as a former player, we'd like to get your perspective on, you know, Yankees, Mets, Red Sox, Phillies division, or whatever it might be.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know what it would look like after a realignment, obviously. None of us know exactly what that would entail and what it would look like. As long as we're able to keep, you know, the main rivalries, the ones that, you know, that we all love, I would say, you know, as a former Met, when you talk about that, Mets-Phillies, you know, obviously as a Yankee, Yankees-Red Sox, you look out west, you know, Dodgers-Padres, Dodgers-Giants, you want to keep those intact. But look, I think what we've seen over the last several years is there have been some fairly big shakeups in the game, big shakeups to the rules, the way the game is played, you know, and for whatever reason, you know, we're seeing attendance, viewership, all those things, they're all pointing up. The arrows are all pointing up, and that's always obviously what we're looking for. So if this is what the brain trust is looking at and thinking this is the way they want to go, and you know, I mean, what it all comes down to, of course, is dollars and cents. They're trying to make more money. You add a couple extra cities, you know, a couple extra teams. There's more money in the game, more money to go around, all those kinds of things. But realistically, you know, as long as it's not hurting the game out there on the field, and it's something that's still entertaining and something we want to watch, I'm all for it. Change is a good thing, and you know, we'll kind of see where it leads. But like I said, I would hate to see some of those natural and longstanding rivalries go by the wayside. So hopefully that's something that is obviously considered, and I'm sure it will be, you know, when the time comes.
Rec, you're the man. I appreciate the time tonight.
Anytime, Keith. Anytime. I appreciate you having me on, man.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.